Our scripture from 1 Thessalonians this morning, 5th chapter. The Apostle Paul wrote most of the letter books that are in the New Testament. And those to whom he wrote them, those of us who've read them since, are convinced that he had the spiritual qualifications to give the kind of advice that he did. Some of his letters are got some pretty strong reproof in them. Called some folks foolish. Things like that. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, he said. But he was qualified to say that, so people accepted it. And not every one of his letters, but typically when he got ready to wind one of them up, he'd throw in just I kind of think of it like a handful of salt with all the little individual grains, just some general instructions, good for everybody. And that's the way the letter would close, and then he'd give a final greeting from those who were with him. Well, the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians is like that. It's got some things in it that just the wind-up of what he's saying, good advice for every Christian. 15th verse beginning, see that none render evil for evil. Ever follow that which is good. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And then his final benediction, the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And think about our little congregation when I read these things. Kind of a little band of pilgrims trying to get to heaven. Walking in the same footsteps, needing each other. Wanting the Lord to guide us and direct us. And wanting to find approval of him at the end of the journey. We need all the instruction and counsel we can get from the Word of God, and we need each other. That's the Lord's plan, and it's a good plan. So I am thinking, of course, today about the word that says, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There's an awfully lot in the Scriptures about giving thanks. It's a good topic. It's a Christian duty. Sometimes the question has been asked, what does God get from us giving thanks to him? Well, that's an interesting subject, but I would like to completely bypass it today and concentrate on what we get out of giving thanks to God. That's very important. After all, in the equation itself, that's the most important part. The part that we get from it. And there's a lot that we get from it. Everyone should be thankful. I don't like very much going out to dinner to do it. If I'm invited as a guest and I go out to dinner with working men or whoever, comes time to start, everybody's got their plate full. Nobody so much even look up at heaven, just start eating whatever's there. Like it just made there by itself. Like somehow all our human skill is able to provide for us. Like I can make cows give milk. I can make the water fall from heaven so that the grain will grow and there'll be some corn to eat. It's kind of an unthankful world sometimes, isn't it? Giving thanks in everything surely does include being thankful for food to eat, clothes to wear, roof over her head, shoes on her feet, the blessings of life. We have a part in making those things happen, but our part alone would never be enough. There's someone greater than we are who's made all of this come to pass, and it's appropriate. It's appropriate for us to acknowledge him. Used to feel that way with my children when they were small. Go out and buy them something, Christmas presents or some other thing, birthday present. maybe sometimes just a surprise. We'd take a drive sometimes, Roberta and I, and all three children in the back seat on Sunday afternoon. Stop at a little store and buy a daddy candy. That's what we called it. I'd go in and they'd all stay in the car and I'd get three sacks and I'd put exactly the same thing in every sack. So there's no possibility to quarrel about it. And it is so nice to get back in the car and they didn't know it was coming. Have those little squeals and their arms around your neck. It feels so good. Well, I think the Lord appreciates it too when we return and are grateful to Him. The Lord Jesus asked out about some lepers that He healed one time, didn't He? 10 lepers. One of them turned back to give Him thanks, and the Lord wanted to know where the rest of them were. We ought to be thankful for our daily food, and it's appropriate for us when we have a meal to tell the Lord so. But that's just a sidelight to the thought we have in mind. You see, everyone should be thankful. And I have the mind concerning that anyone who comes in the doors of our chapel, saved or not, member of our congregation or not, should have the privilege to get up and thank God for blessings. I'll never forget a gentleman who had been involved in a serious accident. He nearly lost his life. And he came to our congregation. I never met him. I had no idea who he was. But when it came time for a prayer request, he asked permission to speak, and he said, I don't really know you people, but he said, I told God when I was in the hospital, if He would spare my life, I would go to a chapel somewhere and get up and thank Him that had mercy on me. I thought that was a very appropriate thing for him to do, and that's what chapels are for. We appreciate folks who care that the Lord's had mercy on them and spared their lives. But thanksgiving is more deeper to the Christian. Someone who's saved. Thessalonians was written to a congregation. And part of the reason is because when we thank the Lord or obey any of His commands, but our topic this morning is being thankful, we establish a link. I don't know how to explain it. Magic happens. The Lord's pleased. He blesses us. There's a connection. You can feel things change when we start to honor Him and thank Him for the blessings that He's bestowed upon us. It's worth the trouble to thank the Lord. Something changes. The Scripture said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Had He said only this is the will of God, it would have had a little different meaning than this does. Everywhere that we read this name Christ Jesus, it's linked with grace. It's linked with the power and the victory that made Jesus able to live a sin-free life, which He puts in His people when we're here, and He lives in our lives. So to give thanks in Christ Jesus means that there's something in giving thanks that ministers grace to our souls. The grace is what we need every day to live above life's hardships and disappointments. Need the grace of God. It is the will of God in Christ Jesus, or through something that ministers deliverance to us, or blessing, or lifts us above ourselves, that we are able to make contact with Him. It is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That meant to the congregation there. It means to all of us as well. I think for this reason, many reasons, and probably more of them occur to you than they have to me, but this is what I have about it. Being thankful delivers from self-pity. Have you ever felt sorry for yourself? When it comes to feeling sorry for yourself, I've been world class, I guess you could say. I was about 8 or 9 years old, somewhere in that range, I remember. Don't know how in the world I got this kind of an idea in my mind. But I decided that I was not a natural born child and my parents had adopted me. All it would have taken to change my mind is a good mirror, because I looked just like them. I remember my dad telling me one time, see that right there across your chin? He said, I gave that to you, boy. And I looked at him, and he's got one deep as mine, and I have trouble shaving it, and he had trouble shaving his. cut his lip and so forth. Looked just like him. Looked like my mother's side of the family. But I got that in my mind. So all day long, every time my parents would look at me, I burst into tears. And my mother took pity on me. She said, "Well, son, I don't know what's bothering you, but sometimes things just bother people." Said, "I've had days like that too." She'd come and put her arms over my shoulder. And I thought to myself, well, she knows I'm adopted and she's trying to show me kindness. And my dad tried to get me to tell him what was the matter with me. And I'd think, well, I've stumbled onto their little secret, but they haven't told me. And so I don't want to say anything either. And so I spent the whole day crying. That's feeling sorry for yourself. Feeling sorry for yourself. Most bitterness has at its root just feeling sorry for yourself. And feeling sorry for yourself is an easy thing to fall into, and it's a hard thing to get over. Self-pity. Some have said that it's one of the worst things that there is in the world that a person can do. To just fall into self-pity. It colors everything you do. Self-pity will cost you all your friends. Self-pity destroys everything around it except itself. Somebody said one time, "I got the worst job than anybody ever had. My boss is meaner to me than anybody's ever been mean." Well, maybe so. But I saw a picture one time of an untouchable in India, Mumbai. It's anytime you get into something bad, you can always look around and see somebody worse. He was crawling out of a manhole cover. The city sewers were stopped up. And they don't have a machine like we do here in this country. And he didn't have any breathing apparatus. His job was to dive down into that stuff and go as far down as he could and try to find a clog and get it out and then swim back out and get another breath of air, try to go it again. I've said, I don't think I've ever had the worst job than anybody's ever had. And if anybody had a right to feel sorry for himself, maybe that poor man was a man. Think of some other folks that I've known. Lady down in Prattsville, Arkansas. This at different times, but others who were there had a lot more to do with her than I did. She's a lovely young woman. Somewhere in middle stages of life, fairly early stages of life, she developed a sickness. She married. She had two or three children. Boyhood sweetheart. Happy life before, but she developed a sickness that paralyzed her absolutely from the waist down. Head down, I'm sorry. She couldn't move anything but her head. And she could feel everything in her body everywhere, but if her arm itched, she couldn't scratch it. If she got tired in the night, she couldn't roll over in the bed. She lived that way for years. And the man that she'd given her life to, he didn't want to live with a woman like that. So he left her and went and found one of her childhood sweethearts and bought the land next to the land she lived on. Divorced her and married that girl and built a house right there where she could look out the window every day and watch him coming and going. And she lived that way for years. And at last she died. And the testimony of those who knew her was that she died with victory, giving thanks to the Lord. Well, which is better? She couldn't make herself well. She could feel sorry for herself. Then what happens? Her children don't want to be around her. Nobody wants to come and take care of her because she's unpleasant. She makes herself even more miserable than she already was. Her choice is either to do that or to learn to be thankful. Thanking the Lord defeats depression. Thanking the Lord is the answer to self-pity. It really is. You know, God's way is never like our way. When we get caught in self-pity, we feel like, if everything would just be better, then I wouldn't have a reason to feel sorry for myself. Things never get that better. There's always something that the old devil can get on your shoulder and tell you you need to use to feel sorry for yourself if you let him do it. In everything, give thanks, folks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Now, we believe in the joy of our salvation. We sing a song sometimes that speaks of it. I've found His grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I'm free, yes, free indeed. And then we say, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. And if someone were to ask, where does that joy come from? He might say, well, it comes because the Lord blessed my soul. And it comes because my sins are forgiven. All of which is true. But there's more to it than that. It comes because we're thankful. And by being thankful, we defeat self-pity. And by defeating self-pity, we defeat depression. And it makes us joyful. Well, try it out. I said there's something magic in it. I don't ever feel like praying when I get up in the morning. Maybe you do. But my flesh always fights me every day. And I have to fight against it. But if I will do it and press through, and the scripture said, come before his presence with thanksgiving and enter into his gates with gladness. When you go down to pray, it's appropriate. It's appropriate for us to start our prayer thanking the Lord for what he's done for us, appreciating his mercy to us, and go from that to asking him to give us grace for the needs of the day, and then begin to repeat our requests to him. When we start in with our thanksgiving, as the prayers increase, so increases the blessing. And the next thing you know, it's like the tap opens up there and the blessings start pouring down in your soul and everything changes. I don't know how to explain it, but it's happened to me so many years and so many times. I know for sure it's going to. I can go a day without praying. It's hard for my wife to get along with me. I can get up in the morning feeling grumpy and irritable and spend some time in my prayer closet and the world changes color. Now, don't feel sorry for myself anymore. How can you feel sorry when you've been thanking the Lord for everything? For everything. Thank him for the things that when you start to thank the Lord, you start looking around at what you got. That's an advantage and a blessing. All of us have got some, haven't we? I got some friends who love me. I got family who love me. That's something to be thankful for. I got health. I got 10 fingers and they all move. And I didn't make that happen. Somebody bigger than me did. His mercy and his compassion touched us and make us what we are. And you start with that list and it just gets longer and longer. Thank the Lord I was able to get out of bed this morning. Thank the Lord I feel good in my body. Thank him for his mercy, saving my soul, gift of his son. You can't feel sorry for yourself when you're thanking the Lord for all the things he's done for you. And the more you thank him, the more that he will bring to your mind. It's a blessing. In everything, he said, give thanks. If I have somewhere where I'm tempted to feel sorry for myself, let me thank him for the blessing that he's given me. And it'll change. It'll change. Self-pity is a spirit. There are spirits of self-pity, maybe is a better way to say it. And if we entertain them, they'll rest on our shoulders. They'll go through life with us. And they never identify themselves as being a spirit. They always try to tell us we've just got an even-handed view. This is the way things really are. And we just have to suffer more than some people. My brother told me one time after spending 30 minutes or so telling me about all the things that are wrong and disappointing in his life, how people had done him wrong, how he didn't have a chance in life because of the name that his father gave him, and how that so many times he had tried to be a successful businessman and things just turned out wrong. And finally he just summarized it all and said, you know, I don't understand it. I've lived for the Lord all my life. I've been a good Christian. I have prayed and I've fasted. And he said, God just hasn't blessed me like he should have. And in his self-pity, and not only feeling sorry that everybody else did him wrong, he's feeling like God did him wrong as well. The answer is thanksgiving. And there's a spirit that works in those things, folks. You can invite the devil by starting to feel sorry for yourself. He'll pick up on that very quickly, and there he'll be to reinforce those feelings. The way to defeat it, it's not according to human understanding. You never get everything all right, so you don't have anything to feel bad about. Start being thankful. One sister said it this way. When you start thanking the Lord, it makes you too hot for the birds of depression to come and land on you. Burns their feet. Be thankful. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. For some folks, renouncing self-pity is harder than giving up a lot of the entertainments of the world. It's harder than giving up dress patterns. Just to actually tell the devil, tell the Lord, I'm tired of feeling sorry for myself. I'm not going to do it anymore. It'd be a major life change. And they'd look at it and say, I can't do it. And their friends would look at it and say, I don't think you ever will either. But this is what we do by the grace of God. And if you do it, it'd be a great relief to your friends and family. It'd be a great relief to you too, as well. Self-pity makes us hard to get along with. And nobody wants to be around us. Self-pity's got a twin sister. It's called envy. Envy. Envy means that you want what somebody else has got. And there's another member of that, which is jealousy. And jealousy basically means that you don't like to share what you've got. I'm reminded of the scripture in the 15th chapter of Mark. It's a very serious scripture. Concerning Jesus being on trial, there's a lot in the Bible about how Jesus perceived things about people. But this is one Pilate perceived. Pilate answered them saying, what do you want? Shall I release unto you the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered Jesus to them for envy. Chief priests moved the people. Now give us Barabbas. Pilate said to him, what will you then that I shall do unto him ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. And Pilate said, why? What evil hath he done? And they did not say, this is the evil that he's done. Which is what they should have done. Because killing somebody is very serious business. And if you're going to ask for it, you ought to have a reason for it. But they didn't offer a reason, they just cried louder. Then, you know, if the argument of the other guy is stronger than yours, yell louder. Overpower him that way. That's what they did. They're going to have an argument. What would you crucify Jesus for? For the people that he healed? For the messengers that brought deliverance? For walking on the water? What would you crucify him for? Well, really for envy. And what did they envy about him? When you think about it. No doubt they envied his popularity. Because he had a lot of people following him right at that time. Just a little while since he had... Palm Sunday, and he'd come into Jerusalem, and the people were crying, Hosanna. And the chief priests would have liked to have been popular that way. But I think about the miracles. This man raised Lazarus. And this man fed the 5,000. And this man would go down to the temple and heal him. It must have been a bad feeling for the Pharisee, or the priest, who'd been sitting there in the temple, ministering there for years, got some crippled fellow out there in front of him every Sabbath day. Give him a few coins and try to shake his hand and keep him encouraged. And then the Lord comes in there. After many years of you watching that, the Lord comes in there and heals him all of a sudden. I would have liked to have been the one doing that. The right attitude would have been, if he got healed, I ought to be glad. By whatever means soever. Why would I look at some poor fellow getting his blind eyes open, being able to walk, who hadn't been able to walk before? Why would I look at some poor man who was lowered down, having the palsy, and lowered through the roof, the Lord touch him and heal him, and not say, well, by any means he could get it. His life is made better. But envy, envy. I want what you got. But did they really? Jesus came into the world to suffer. Oh, they wanted the beautiful part of it. The part it looked like that they could see. I don't think they wanted the lonely nights on the mountainside, fasting and praying. I don't think they wanted the moment when he stood before Pilate, the time when the nails were being driven into his hands and into his feet. The Lord knew that was coming, and he came on purpose to suffer that. When they were envying him, why weren't they looking at those things? Or why we? When the devil comes to tempt us to envy somebody else. Envy is basically wanting what somebody else has got. But do we really? Somebody gave an old story about it this way. If all our troubles were hung on the line, you'd take yours and I'd take mine. Truth is, I don't want to have to deal with the troubles you got. And you probably don't want to deal with the troubles that I've got. The Lord's fixed us, our place in life. If we really knew what each other have to face, we wouldn't envy each other. They wouldn't have envied the Lord if they knew what he really came to do. But we've got a way of looking at other people through rose-colored glasses. We just see the, how can I say this? When I was an early teenager, my parents made me take accordion lessons. There was another boy and I and a girl. We all took accordion lessons from the same teacher. So we'd meet with her once a week. And this other boy would always have some kind of gadget. He had a slingshot. When he got there and the other girl was taking her lesson, he and I'd be sitting in there together. And you'd have thought that was the greatest slingshot there ever was. He had one and I didn't. Man, I wanted that slingshot. And another time we came and he had a ball. I didn't have a ball like his. He could make anything look like it was the greatest one there ever was. Well, I went away and thought about that. So the next time we came, I had me a little airplane that I took in there. And he got his out to play with it, and I got mine out to play with it. And it wasn't very long till he was over there wishing he had one of mine. I found out that you can make it look good to somebody. It's all in the way you approach it, isn't it? Do you really want my life? Do you think I really want your life? If it turned out like Jesus was? No. All of us have got things that we wouldn't want to have to take for somebody else. Envy. There is a simple way to deal with envy. These high priests, these chief priests and Pharisees should have known it. It's to be thankful. It's to be thankful. Thank the Lord for what you got. But he said, in everything, to give thanks. What that means is, when you come out here to the chapel and you got a new car to drive, I ought to be thankful for you. That's my brother. That's my brother. He needs something useful and suited to his needs. The Lord's blessed him to have it. I'm glad he's got it. Or whatever it is. Folks call me up and say they're getting married. Not long ago, got another one of those calls. Young man, and I think I'm old now. And what a life he's got ahead of him. The right attitude is, I've got mine. I've had my time. Thank the Lord for that. And here's someone else, very dear to me, starting down the journey. Godspeed, brother. Everything that God can bless you with, I hope it's yours. Thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks unto the Lord, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Being thankful will defeat envy. Being thankful will defeat self-pity. Being thankful, just a simple thing, is starting our day with thanksgiving. It'll defeat depression. It'll defeat sadness. It'll cause us to see the best that there is to be seen of what there is in life. Do we have joy? Well, there is a reason why we have joy. It is in being forgiven. It is in the physical presence of the Lord in our lives. But it's also in giving thanks. And the other things that he teaches us. Because they sweeten our lives and change them. And move them in positive directions. So let's be thankful, friends. When you walk out the chapel doors. And you can feel the rain on your face. Be thankful you can feel that. Hot and cold. I've been told of people who lost the capacity to feel pain, could touch a hot stove and burn their hand clear through and not feel it. Be thankful if you cut your finger that you can feel it. Be thankful if those we love disappoint us sometimes. The Father will use that to teach us good things. He didn't say all things are good to them that serve him. He said all things work together for good. There's another very important part of being thankful. Just being thankful. Think of old Father Jacob. We'll have some Esau's along the way. I suppose it'd be fair to say that Jacob was suffering for his faults when Esau came out with his troop of men to meet him and wanted to do battle with him. But the right thing for Esau to do at that time is get down on his face and thank God that he led him to the place where he was. There was a time when Jacob got a vision of a ladder with the angels going up and down to heaven. And he needed that vision when he had his confrontation with Esau. Thank the Lord if he sends you an angel to wrestle with all night long. Thank the Lord if when he allows trouble to come your way, you greet it in the right manner and be thankful about it and pray your way through it. The Lord will give you a deliverance in it. The Lord not only turned Esau around and spared Jacob's life, he changed Jacob and changed his name from being a usurper to being a prince. Folks, if we'll be thankful when things are the hardest, when we are most disappointed, when it looks like hope is cut off. Be thankful then, because if you will be steady through it, you'll see just a little farther down the road, the Lord was using that for your good. We can't require Him to make everything He's doing in our lives known to us at the moment in which He's doing it. The Scripture said, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Be faithful. Be faithful. And if you have to suffer some hardship, or I do, let's be thankful for it. There's no suffering for the Lord that doesn't bring a benefit. There'll be an end after a while, and the Lord's mercy will rest upon us. And by being thankful, we give Him opportunity to work out what He's trying to in our lives. Thank you for the courtesy of your attention this morning. Amen.